Everybody needs a breakthrough every day in every area of their life. There isn't a day goes by that we don't need a breakthrough. Or am I the only one like that? Amen. Because the enemy comes from all sides, doesn't he? You know, God spoke to me during praise and worship, and he said, his plans are not like our plans. That's all he said. So if you're trying to make God work out your plans, it's not going to work. he has his plans, and he intends on carrying them through. Excuse me. You know, one thing God's been dealing with me about is we don't really trust him. You know, he gives us great prophetic words, you know, about our families or friends or our business or whatever. And we say, that's wonderful. But yet, we don't really believe that, because what we do is we get all upset when things don't go right in our homes. Yeah, you know, I lived for 45 years with a man who, he ran women. I never concentrated on that. I had too much to do for the Father, and he had to work out his own salvation. He never treated me bad. We didn't have a relationship, but that didn't bother me any, because I knew what God was calling me forth to do, and I didn't need a man or my children to make it come to pass, because my Father is one that makes it come to pass. So why don't you just, whatever you're going through, if you really read the Word, you find out in the Word that there was suffering all through the Bible. Everybody that was truly called of God suffered. Look at Paul, look at Peter, you know, look at Timothy. They all suffered. And Jesus was definitely called of God, and he suffered. So what makes us believe that we are not going to suffer if we're true children of God? Look at your government. You can tell who's of God and who isn't by the way they're being attacked. You know, if the ones that are of the devil aren't being attacked at all, they're getting away with everything they can get away with. But the ones that are of God are being attacked over and over and over again. And I'm talking about all government, because I read about it all, the whole thing, so I can keep myself well balanced. And so God's been dealing with me to ask you people, why do you think that you won't suffer? You're going to. I know this is a negative message, I know. I mean, I'm so sick and tired of hearing that, I can't hardly stand it. But you know what's the problem with the body of Christ is? We've always been taught that everything's fine. We won't ever suffer because we follow God. And, you know, you do whatever you want to do, and you're still going to go to heaven. They've been teaching that for eons. And now all of a sudden, God is saying, none of that was ever true. And now he's saying, I want you to get close to me. I want you to come up into the third heaven, and I want you to sup with me. And you can no longer, be in your sins and think you're going to heaven. It just isn't going to work. And now the body of Christ is all twit, aren't they? It's a mess. And I was reading some articles this past week, how the churches are tearing each other down. It's a shame. It's a shame. You know, where are we at, church? I want you to really think, where are we at? Why are we tearing each other down? I've always told you, don't come in here and talk about another church, pastor. I don't want to hear it. I'm not pastoring that church. And you know, whenever 2 years down the road, you're going to realize you were the problem anyhow. You know, let's just serve God. Let's just serve God, and let's just go on and be the vessels of honor that he wants us to be. And if you read, you know, if you're really reading anything, they're telling you the music we're singing, they tell us not to sing because of somebody in the church sinned. And so it tainted the music, I guess. You know, it's, boy, wait till you stand before Jesus. You're going to wish you would have listened to the truth and not been swayed about all these naysayers out there that are out there just trying to cause trouble. I was reading this morning where this man died twice, and I can't remember what he was into, some sort of practice guru or something. But anyhow, when he died at first, he knew he was dying, so he got his mind, he controlled his mind and got into these things they were practicing. And then he saw this black crow and described how beautiful it was. And anyhow, he brought himself back. You know, no glory to God. What do you think the crow was? Went in heaven. And so a couple months later, and he really bragged about how he brought himself back. And while he was out there dying, he saw this black crow. And a couple months later, he had the very same experience, died again. Saw the very black, saw the same crow and did his little whatever practice he was into of controlling his mind, brought himself back. And running around telling people what a wonderful experience he had. The man went to hell. You know, and so he's given his self-glory for bringing himself back because he knew how to control his mind. You know, these are the things that are going out there, and they're in the church too. That's the sad part. They're in the church also. And God's just really upset because we want the glory to fall, but we don't want to change. And you have to change. You just have to change, and you have to change your lifestyle. Father, I just thank you and I praise you. And Father, I'm just believing with every fiber of my being that these people sitting in this house today and watching on live stream, Father God, that they understand the truth of your word, dig deep into your word yourselves and find out what the truth is, Father, and then make sure they're on the right road so one day they can stand in heavenly places with you. And Father, I thank you that your Holy Spirit's in this room. I thank you, Father God, that the enemy cannot stop the service. You have more power than he does. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to share some sort of personal with you because, you know, we get in here, you know, the glory, we can feel the presence of God here, but yeah, we get up here and we get to teach it and we're fought. And I said, God, why is it that we're fought like that? He said, because there's not unity in the staff. He said, because of disunity, you don't have all the power that you need to stop the enemy in his tracks when he comes in here and starts working. You know, the devil himself should be able to walk in here, and he shouldn't be able to do anything because of the power of God that's manifested because there's total unity in the staff. I want you to really think about that. Is you know, the devil has no power unless we give it to him. That goes in your household too. If there's not unity in your household, then you don't have the full power that you should have to cast the devil out of your house. All right, now God just showed me this too. All right, so when I say unity, even if your family's not serving God, I went through this. Even if your family's not serving God, you're still in unity with the Father. And you have power and authority. But because you're fighting with the other members of your family, trying to get them to serve God, there's disunity there with the Father. Don't worry about the other members of your family. You just work your way, you know, into glory. Amen. You know, some of you think that you're going to die if your family doesn't get saved. No, you're going to die because you're trying to get them saved. Come on. And God told me one time it's not your job to save anybody. All right. Well, you know, my family's doing this, my family's doing that. Well, that shouldn't affect you because you put all your trust in God and you said to God, here's my family now. You have them now. I'm going to work for you. And then 5 minutes later, you're fussing because your family's not doing what you think they should be doing. Are you understanding now? Anyhow, it's the truth. I want you to keep Sister Teresa up in prayer. You know, she went in for her surgery and it didn't turn out good. She's going to have to wear that bag all of her life. So right now she's trying to adjust. This is quite an adjustment to make, and just keep her in prayer that she stays in the right place. She won't answer my phone calls. So I know that she's working through this, you know, because it's not what she expected. But you know what? She went in there trusting God with all of her heart that everything's going to be fine. Well, it wasn't fine when they did the other surgery. But I believe with all my heart, because God has our life planned out right, I believe with all my heart that the big miracle's coming. I mean, you know, they're going to, you know, so what if they go in there and attach everything? That's not a miracle. But if they take everything out and all you have is a sack, then all of a sudden everything's working fine. That is and I got the Holy Spirit over me. I keep saying that is a miracle. And if anybody goes to visit, tell her that, please. Since I wanted to tell her that this morning, but she picked the phone up and hung it back up again. But I'm not coming against her. I don't know how I'd react. Well, yeah, I do. But, you know, we're all different, and we all react differently. There's so many things going on in the body of Christ that we don't understand. But let's not get lost in the shuffle. You know, God said, my ways are not your ways. And so we just have to give it to God. God, you know what's best. You know what you already had planned out. So my prayer anymore is I pray for healing. And I said, God, your will be done. Your will be done. And his will is that everybody be healed, right? Yes. But, you know, I might be praying wrong. I might be thinking wrong. So what I do is, my bottom line is, your will be done in every area of our lives. All right, I'm going to teach this morning on glorious coming. So nowadays, everybody is quoting Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment. How many people do you know are judging you? They're judging your walk with God. You know, they just think you're fanatic or whatever. God said, which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. You will. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. You're not going to go to that person and fight with them. You're going to say, well, God, here's an enemy. They're forming a weapon against me. You take care of it. That's how I've learned to handle things that way, through the Holy Spirit. Instead of me trying to, you know, make things right, only God knows how to make things right. And so we have to give everything to God. All right, and then Isaiah 61 says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. We hear both these scriptures all the time. We have it on the wall because I forgot how many years ago God gave us that scripture, and we still do not understand that scripture. You know, if we did, we would be walking the way we're walking. It even says the Gentiles shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. See, you know, God's telling us that we have the glory in here, and people are going to come in because of the glory. But we keep saying, God, where's your glory? Where's your glory? Where's your glory, Lord? It's here. God's waiting for you to get out of doubt and unbelief and just believe. You're like, how many years ago he said, you have an open heaven, and I saw the heavens open right over there. But do we really walk like we're under an open heaven? That we don't, because it's unbelief. Because you're trying to make God move the way you want him to move, and he's not. Because the way you want him to move is not going to get a good result. This is when God said, "You're right on the very edge of one of the most exciting things that has ever happened to the church. Will you be part of it? Toss aside everything that would so easily beset you and stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and receive all that I am, even this very night. For thus saith the Lord, I am in full and complete control of all things in this earth." But you don't believe that. The church doesn't. I'm not saying us, but the church doesn't believe that. If they did, they would be doing things differently. In your church, in your home, in your business, you would be doing things differently. So he says, "And complete control of all things in this earth, and you had better not think otherwise. Do not be a fool any longer. Do not go about thinking you can drink from two cups. You need to toss aside the bitter cup and drink from my cup. For my cup holds blessing after blessing, and I will not curse those whom I have already blessed." Come on. Come on, take up your sword and follow me, and stop your religious activities and your foolish meanderings. I am God, and there is no other like me. I have spoken, and so shall it be. Stop. Stop all your dead works and come unto me this night in full authority and full power, and never yield your vessels to the enemy ever again. You think you know me, but you truly do not know me, or you would not be doing what is not right in my eyes. Take the blinders off and do my works, and only my works, saith the Lord. God wants us to receive all that he has for us according to the heavenly standards. Jesus was raised from the dead and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. We have been made righteous and made to sit in heavenly places. We have been given the maximum of God. Heaven's standards of blessing are exceedingly great beyond measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And all things are yours. All the promises of God are to you and running towards you. But we don't believe that, do we? I'm talking about the body of Christ. The body of Christ does not believe that, because you can tell that by watching how they react to everything. We get so dumb. And, you know, the devil's just standing there laughing at us, because really, truly, he couldn't touch us unless God allows him to. And you can allow him to when God doesn't want him to, by not trusting and believing God. I think that about everybody in this room needs a healing of some sort. And this is what God told me last night. He said that Brother Skip is the only one in this church that has true, unadulterated faith for healing. That's a shame. With look around us. He has true, unadulterated faith, and he himself is going through some difficulties. That made me think. Does it make you think? What's wrong with me, God, that I don't have that? All right? All things are yours. All the promises of God are to you and running towards you. In Romans 8:31 says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Ephesians 2:7, "That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." And 2 Chronicles 9:13 through 14, "The weight of gold that came to Solomon yearly was 666 talents of gold, besides what the traveling merchants and traders brought, and all the kings of Arabia and governors of the country brought gold and silver to Solomon." They brought it to Solomon. God wants people to give into our bosoms. But because we are always fussing about our finances and fussing about other things, God can't bless us. 2 Chronicles 9:22, "So King Solomon surpassed all the kings of the earth in riches and what? Wisdom. And all the kings of the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart." How many people come seeking you out to hear your wisdom? I've lost my place. Each man brought his present, articles of silver and gold, garments, armor, spices, horses, and mules at a set rate year by year. Solomon had 4,000 stalls for horses and chariots and 12,000 horsemen whom he stationed in the chariot cities and with the king at Jerusalem. Men gave into Solomon's bosom. And it, from what we read, it's because of what? His wisdom. They would go to him for understanding. This is why we are lacking. One reason why we're lacking in our goods is because nobody wants to hear what we have to say. There's not wisdom. How many times has God said to us, seek wisdom? And how many of us seek? How many of you really, truly, when you have a problem, you say, God, I need your wisdom like never before. I need to hear from the throne room, right? Because I don't know how to deal with this. I don't have enough wisdom to do this. All right. So I said, men gave into Solomon's bosom. And number one, for those of you who have given your all to Christ, this is what you can expect to be happening in your life. God is going to engulf the nations of this world with his spirit and with power and glory. All flesh is going to be engulfed in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in an unprecedented manner. Not just some people, but everyone will experience it. All right, so if men gave into Solomon's bosom, and for those of you who have given your all to Christ, you can expect the very same thing. Because I've heard God say to many people, I want to give into your bosom. And a lot of people are out there making it on their own intellect. You wouldn't have that intellect if God didn't give it to you. And if you keep seeking wisdom from God, he will increase that intellect. But if you all of a sudden get full of pride and think it's you, then God's out of the picture. All right. And I know there's quite a few in here that God said he wants to make you entrepreneurs. Is that the word? And the only way you're going to do that is if God gives you the wisdom to do it. And I'm excited. I think the church ought to be business people. I think the church ought to be the ones out there getting the monies, you know, because you will do it right. You'll do it through Christ. I think the world has run that thing long enough. And now I think the body of Christ needs to tap into that through Christ. Joel 2:28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the, among the what? The remnant whom the Lord calls. And believe it or not, that's the first time I noticed that in that scripture. And it just, you know, and I really got excited. And it's among the remnant that this is going to happen. And God has called the remnant churches forth. And remnant churches are the ones that have been on the backside of the desert. And God's been teaching them. And God told us when we first started, he told me, he said, you are a remnant church. I didn't know what that meant, but I wrote it down. And so, see, God's been teaching us on the backside of the desert. And now I'm hearing God say, you're going to blossom. And you're going to grow and blossom. And whenever you come to full bloom, then you're going to do great signs, wonders, and miracles in the house. You know, that should be applied. We should apply that to each one of our vessels. You know, as we grow and as we blossom, and then and we get the wisdom of God, and then God will start sending people to us so that they can get our wisdom. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Jesus is saying, in my name, in my authority, in my righteousness, in my abilities, do what I did and get the results I got. God said we have the power and authority. We don't have the ability because of our lack of trust in Him. So just stop and think, how much do you really trust God? You know, the reason why I think that I walked in signs, wonders, and miracles for those 30-some years is because I trusted everything that Word told me. Never thought twice about it. Okay, I can do that. Sure, I'll go do that. But after 30 years, man kept telling me, you can't be doing what you're doing. You're of the devil. I started believing that. And what happened? The great signs, wonders, and miracles waned. And God has been telling me, daughter, I'm waiting on you. So Him and I have had a talk this past week, and I'm going to see if what I'm doing now is what He's waiting on. All right? Because He just said, I'm waiting on you. All right, cast out all devils, heal the sick, and raise the dead. You are victorious. You have my victory. The enemy is already defeated. The debt is paid. God is saying, if all you have is a slingshot like David, use it in my name. If all you have is faith like a grain of mustard seed, use it in my name. According to your faith, so be it to you. God is saying, you have the power and authority. Now step out there by faith and just do it. You know, and God told me when I first started, He said, anything you place your hands to do, I will do it. See, it's not me doing anything. I didn't raise the dead. God did. You know, are you understanding this? You know, I didn't heal somebody of cancer when I laid hands on them. God did it. So what's wrong with you? Are you wanting, when you lay hands on somebody, you want them healed because you want the glory? Or you're trusting that God, in God to do it, and He gets all the glory? Why did Catherine Kuhlman die? She was mad at God because He gave her, somebody else, her anointing. She didn't want anybody else to be getting any glory for what she was doing. So she had a heart attack, I think, and died. So why? What's your motive? You know, what's your motive? Is it that you get no glory and God gets all the glory, or you want the glory? Everybody looked up to you. We see so many people in the house of God wanting to get glory. And they don't want it to go to God, but it go to them. I'm going to tell you right now, I couldn't do anything that I'm doing if it wouldn't be for God. And I'm going to tell you something else. You couldn't do anything you're doing either if it wouldn't be for God. Or the devil. You know, the devil can do what God does. So, you know, where is it coming? I'd ask myself where it's coming from. All right. Need to think about these things. Daniel 11:32, those who do wickedly against the covenant, He shall corrupt with flattery, but the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Now, God spoke to us and said that there would come a day when we, you know, not us, but the church, we go to the, well, we're involved too, but go to the hospitals and empty them out. How many of you have enough faith to go to the Kent General and just walk through the halls and thank God for healing everybody? Then watch the people jump up screaming, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. So, you know, He said it's going to happen. So how is it going to happen? I hope through the church, you know, this church anyhow. And I hope that you go not to say, oh, wow, that she walked through the church and boy, everybody got healed. No, God walked through the church and He healed everybody. All right. Verse 12, John 14:12. Most assuredly, I say to you, Jesus speaking, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. Now, when I read that, he said I could do what he did. So I went out and did what he did. Oh, are you too busy sitting at home fussing that you can't go pray for people? Come on. I'm telling you guys, you can walk in so much power that the enemy cannot hide from you, because God will reveal him at every turn. Amen. God is saying, do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. There's too many people in the body of Christ walking this stuff, and God is saying, stop it. Acts 2:39, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. It's just, see, it's just not for you, it's for your children and everybody around you. Everybody around you should be able to walk in the anointing you walk in, because you're carrying the anointing of Jesus. When you walk by, it jumps onto them, and then they get it, and then they go and it jumps onto somebody else. You know, I'm hearing God say, it's an extension thing, you know. And so if the body of Christ isn't going to get this and walk in the power that God has, what's going to happen to the world? They're going to be totally lost forever, and God is not going to allow that. So why not it be you? Why not it be you that God works through? Come on. You know, the other night, my legs hurt all night long, terrible pain in my legs. Hadn't happened before. 7 o'clock, I went to get out of bed, and I couldn't stand on my legs. I gave away. Fear, and I've never walked in fear in my life, but fear engulfed me totally and completely. I sat back, well, I fell back down to bed, and I said, devil, you can't do this to me. You just can't do this to me. And then I prayed some more, and I laid down, and 2 hours later, I got up. I tried to get up again. I got up, but I had to hold on to things to get to the bathroom. But by 11 o'clock, I could walk. I said, devil, I'm not giving in to this. This is God's temple, not yours. Now, you see, a lot of people would have given in to that. And I rebuked fear right away. Like, I mean, it totally swam over me. And I rebuked that instantly, because I'm not going to walk in fear of nothing. You know, I had one husband say, you're so cocky about yourself. No, I'm just not going to let the devil take me over, because the word of God says I don't have to do that. All right. Well, anyhow, then the rest of the day I walked fine. I've slept well last night. Get up this morning fine. Be popping around, you know. But I couldn't give in to that fear. And I could have been laying in that bed, not walking. See what God's trying to get us to do? And the only way you can do that is if you're following God with all of your heart and you really trust his word with every fiber of your being, and then you walk in that word that you trust in. All right, we are on the very edge of this engulfment of the outpouring upon all flesh like the world has never experienced. God has been speaking to this congregation to get ourselves together so that we can receive this great outpouring when it happens. Please don't be left standing on the riverbanks watching all the others swim by. Reason why I wrote that, because I look back to year 2000, and God was saying the same thing in 2000 that he's saying today. It blew my mind. He's, you know, before that probably too, because that's as far back as I had them saved on my computer. But, you know, just like then I thought about Jesus. How many years was it God said Jesus was coming? 400? People waited 400 years for Jesus to come. And so even though God speaks something over your life, it doesn't mean it's happening right that second. And, you know, so if you have to wait, don't lose hope. And if you're like me, one time I said to God, you know, he said, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And I said, where is the end? You know, because it kept going on. You probably think that too. It goes on and on and on and on. And you want to know where the end of it's at so you can see some sort of glimmer of something. You know? He didn't answer me, by the way. All right, prepare your hearts right now to receive the former and the latter rain as God pours it out upon his people. I think he said that about 2 years ago. I have brought to you the former and the latter rain. So we already have it. What are we waiting on? You have what you need. Now walk in it. God said, I am in the process of tearing down walls within you and to do a deeper healing within. Remember when God told us he was cleaning the inside of the cup? If you're willing and open to go deeper in me, that's what he's doing. For in your present state, I am at limited access to your whole being. I am not able to flow through you in full capacity. For my river can only move through an open channel, one that has no blockage from the evil one. Hear that? So come freely and come openly, and I will lead you into a higher level of worship and warfare through the method of deeper and more committed areas of intimacy with your Maker. Now, before God gave me this, I was trying to get the song service together, and I wanted to do a slow, sweet by-and-by one. But God wouldn't let me do that. I didn't want to do fast, but he wanted to do fast. And then when he gave me this word, he says, so come freely and come openly, and I will lead you into a higher level of worship and warfare through the method of deeper and more committed areas of intimacy with your Maker. And on the way here this morning, he told me he wanted us to play that song. And so they have to run around there and get it together. If you're wondering why we start 10 minutes early, it's because I'm not caring how long the song service is. But we need to start at, what, 10:30? No, I don't know. What time we start? 11? 11:30. And so, okay, so when I get it all together for a little bit longer, then we just start earlier, you know? So if you miss a song or two, that's your problem, not mine. You might want to start come to church earlier. I want God to be able to move anyway. You know, I want him to do whatever he wants to do. And, you know, I know God said, don't want what we used to have. But whenever God was doing all the signs, wonders, and miracles, it all happened during praise and worship. Now, and I'm not putting God in a box. He can do whatever he wants to do, however he wants to do it. But, you know, if he's telling me to have that long of a song service, I'm going to have it because I don't know what he has planned for that day. Amen. God said, reach out and touch me and let me feel you to overflowing. For this is the time and the hour to totally let go and to allow me to live through you completely. I just have to tell you, Mary Steele, God said, you just need to let your family go. And you're alone. It's just you and God. And you just do what God's telling you to do. You're just going to have to, you know, let them in God's hands. And I have the Holy Spirit on me and God saying, daughter, I will take care of your family. Don't let your family stop your walk with God. I can say that with all honesty because, my family's a mess. But I don't let that stop me because a pastor said to me with my first husband, he said, you shouldn't be preaching because your marriage isn't right. We weren't fighting or anything, but he was carousing. And I went home crying, and God said, I didn't call your family. I didn't call your husband. I called you. He said, you keep yourself right, and that's all you have to worry about. You know, so he didn't call your family. He called you. And if he says you and your husband are going to work together, your family, then just keep walking. And when God's ready, he'll get that family in line. And so you can do what he's wants you to do. All right. I have promised you the latter rain and greater works with signs and wonders following my word, but you must be totally yielded and open for me to do this work. Why do you not get excited over my presence? Why do you not show the joy that I have placed within? Why do you allow the cares and distraction of the world to take my place? For many have shown more excitement and an interest in worldly matters than in that which pleases me. I call you to a deeper level of commitment to make a sure decision to cast down the vain imaginations and to stir your heart afresh to unite as one and to worship me and to praise me with joy and complete freedom. You know, a couple of years ago, somebody blamed me for being a cult leader. And, you know, that bothers me today because all of a sudden there's all this stuff out there about cult leaders. I know deep in my heart I'm not, excuse me, but those people was more than one, planted a seed of destruction. And this is a battle I'm battling. Been battling now for, what, 2 years? And I said, God, will I ever get through this battle? And, you know, so I had to keep checking myself over and over and over again. And I know I'm not a cult leader. You know, I don't do what cult leaders do. But see how somebody can do that to you? And they can totally bind you up. And I'm being honest with you. And so I have to fight that every day. I have to fight the fact that somebody out there is spreading the word that I'm a cult leader. The enemy, look what he did to Jesus. Look what he's doing to President Trump. Look what he's doing to some of the lawyers, some of the judges. They're spreading lies after lies after lies. I don't know about you, but when I read about somebody that, excuse me, that they're spreading lies about, I put them on my prayer list. Because I know what it's like to be lied about, and how that thing, even though you know you're doing right, that thing just tears you apart at times. Amen. Okay, where am I at? What is standing in your way, Jesus says. Do not allow its access any longer. For this is a new day, a new hour, to start afresh, to commit your heart totally to me. You cannot pull down the strongholds of the evil one and promote my kingdom on earth unless you first take charge in your own life. We're going to read that again. What is standing in your way? Now, this thing about the cult is not standing in my way because I keep praying, you know, it doesn't do that. Do not allow its access any longer, for this is a new day, a new hour, to start afresh, to commit your heart totally to me. You cannot pull down the strongholds of the evil one and promote my kingdom on earth unless you first take charge in your own life. All right? Charity begins at home. Love your neighbors as yourself. Walk in integrity always. Pay back what you owe and be trustworthy. The one that others can trust. Be an example of my faithfulness in portraying my fruit of love. Shine my light so all can see, for this is a final hour and revival must first begin with you. See, you have to be concentrated on your own self. You have to be speaking to God and asking him to get you ready to be a revival carrier. It's just not going to happen. You have to work at this. And, you know, there's many things that I've done for God that he'll say to me, I'm waiting on you. And then finally I'll figure out what he's waiting on, just like I am right now. And so what about you? Are you asking God, what are you waiting on? Or what am I not doing that you would like me to do? You know, whatever you have to do, let this word today encourage you that God desires to use you greatly, and the enemy desires to distort God's plans for your life. It's your choice whether or not you go forth and do what God's asking you to do. John Ramirez has a new book out about how to keep yourself delivered. And I sent for some. I think that some of you people that are going through deliverances and can't stay free, you need to get that book and read it. And see, and he tells you why. You know, John Ramirez was Satan's son for years. And he left the devil and joined God's army. And he's harassed constantly. But he's out there doing a mighty works for God's kingdom. I just really feel in my heart that some of you have the right heart, you have the right mind, but there's just some things deep down inside of there that God needs to root out, and they're hindering. It's like I'm hearing God say, it's like a vine wrapping itself around your true identity and what God wants to do with you. And tonight, this morning, God wants to set you free from that vine that has you ensnared. You're going to have to know this one thing. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. You can be the only person saved in your household, and I'm the only person in my household saved. The devil's all around me. And I was explaining to somebody else that lives in my home, I said, you guys carry this demonic atmosphere all through the house, and I have to fight tooth and nail to live is because it's stealing my health from me. But I'm not going to let you guys kill me. You know, and I said, you know, whatever God has to do to get this out of my house, I've given him permission to do it. Because I have a works to do for God. And I can't be bound to a bed or to one room in my house. You know, the devil has me, my house. I just have a bedroom and a study and a bathroom out of that great big house I have. The devil's taken over the rest of it. So I'm in the process of taking it back. And so what has the devil stolen from you? And you need to take it back. I allowed this because I wanted to be nice. I wanted to do the godly thing. I did not want to be called a hypocrite, you know. And now this is what I have. The devil taken over my home. And you know, once you let go, then it's a chore to get it back. But you have to work at getting it back. And this is what God wants us to do. Take back what the enemy has stolen from us. Get back what is rightfully ours and then keep it. And don't let the enemy come in ever again. Because I'm telling you, God says don't be unequally yoked. And when you live around a lot of sinners, I know why God has said that. Because their darkness will start dimming your light. It doesn't mean that you're in sin, but it starts dimming your light. And God doesn't want that to happen. I'm in my predicament just because I wanted to be nice. I'm sorry, guys. I have learned you don't always have to be nice to prove you're a child of God. All right. But the altar's open if you're entwined with that vine that's holding back really what the thing that God really wants to use you to do.